And joining us now is the celebrated one, J.R. Starkus, with Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits, as well as our good friend Chris Motley over at Liquor World. What's on Tap is brought to you by Liquor World each and every day, and Liquor World locations are all over town. Go to social media, especially Instagram, and hashtag LiquorWorld_LV for prices and deals that happen all the time. And we know on Monday you guys had that big announcement, and everyone's all fired up, especially if you go and get the app. This time of the season is really important because everyone needs to get their liquor orders in early. You know what I mean? So what's it like for you, and what was Monday like for you? Tell us everything that happened on Monday.
That's the funny thing. I was off on Monday.
Yeah, you took off on Monday?
Nick, our store manager, had to deal with that situation of all the people bum-rushing the store for the goodies. I gave some goodies out on Sunday, but that was an event for, like, our email people. So that's another thing. Come in, sign up for our email list, because I send out a lot of useful news about new items, sales like the one that we just had, and events, tasting events, and things like that.
The customer service you get at Liquor World is beyond reason of how it's how it should be at liquor stores and wine stores. And when you have products that are affordable but yet are a little expensive, you just want to make sure you get the right ones. And that's why I love you guys. And Chris is a spirit specialist, but everyone around there at Liquor World is very, very knowledgeable. How do you get so many smart people to work for you guys?
I don't know, luck of the draw. Yeah, I mean,
they're really into their stuff, though, man.
The main thing about this business is if you're getting a job at a liquor store or wherever, a bar or whatever, and you have no interest in this, I question what you're doing with your life, because you need to have some kind of interest in it, and it's great to have people who really, you know, I don't know, to be funny about it, we don't want a lot of drunks around, but I use the term adult beverage enthusiast.
Yeah.
If you don't have an interest in it, don't be doing it. And most of the people there have an interest in it, and we take our work home with us.
Yeah, and I feel like the people in this room, like, we try to do things that we love to do every day, so it never feels like work. And JR, I mean, what you do every day is, like, so many businesses and restaurants and bars, they rely on you to come up with menus and new things that no one else is going to have. So you're constantly having to outdo the next guy, but also outdo yourself. The challenge is every day for you.
Well, you know, it's not about outdoing it either. It's more about just creating something that works for them. You know, not everybody is looking for exactly the same thing. More often than not, I get the request that's like, hey, dude, listen, we just need to keep it simple, because they know what is capable. They know what is out there, what the levels you can reach to. They've seen what we've done before. But that's not normal, right? That's not normal for everybody. So a lot of people, you know, in the real environment, in a real bar environment, when there's more than one person at your bar and people are asking for the check and people are asking food questions and people are, you know, doing all these different things at the same time, a bartender has to be able to multitask. And so it's not always about how many weird things can you put into a drink. It's about how can I make a drink that's sessionable, right? How can I make something that's easy for the bartender to make over and over and duplicate?
Sure, yeah.
And how can I make something for the bartender that they don't regret having this on their cocktail menu? The worst thing I can do as a bartender, and I take this with me every time I develop a cocktail menu, is because when I was behind the bar still for 13 or 14 years, some dude comes into your bar and he's like, hey, here's your new cocktail menu, we're training you. And you think to yourself, who the heck is this guy? He doesn't know my customers. He doesn't know my,
right.
You know? And so it's a bit of like an ego hit, right? Regardless of where you are in your bartending career. So I respect that tremendously. And so I always try to build a cocktail menu from where I was when I stood behind a bar, and something that a bartender can say, man, that drink is delicious. It's easy for me to make. My customers love it, and I make money on it. So I'm excited to hand this cocktail menu out. I always try to do that. Sometimes I get the directive of making things a little, or sometimes a lot more complicated with drinks that are about the show more than they are about the cocktail, right?
Well, it is Vegas.
Yeah, the drink is an old fashioned, but to build that old fashioned, which is takes a few seconds to do, the pomp and circumstance around the presentation is what people are Instagramming now, right? You can't Instagram a flavor, but you can Instagram a look.
Always.
So exactly. So that's what a lot of, hey, JR, I want something that's interactive. I want something that's you putting it into a smoking box and doing it in front of a customer. I want something.
That's where you get the blow torches in the wood.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Amongst other things, dry ice, liquid nitrogen, whatever. And, things that come with more training than just cocktail training, right? You're training on the cocktail, and
come
now you're
chemistry degree,
right? And then you're training on that too. Like, hey, here's how not to kill yourself when you make this. Yeah. At the same time, here's how not to go to the hospital when you make this, and here's how not to send your customer to the hospital, right? So, you know, a lot of what I do is kind of like what I do on the radio, and that's what I enjoy doing with you guys, is because these are the same style of drinks that I build for a lot of bars, because they are easy. They are easy to do as long as you have the right things. But as I often preach, you have to understand that it's not always a this for that. We've talked about this off the air a little bit. It's not always apple for apple. Oh, today I'm using Remy Martin 1738. And there's a reason I chose that brand, right? Mm. It is a drier style cognac. And sometimes you taste cognacs and they can taste and perceive themselves, while they would all be pretty much dry or off dry, they can perceive themselves to you as sweet. But they're not, but this is certainly on the drier side. If you flip in whatever you have at your house, not understanding the flavor profile of it or 1738, you'll make this drink. Maybe you follow it exactly and you're like, oh, that's too sweet, or that's not balanced, or whatever the case is. Maybe you love it, but there's a reason I chose this brand. So it's not always, oh, I don't have that cognac, I'll just use this one. Oh, I don't have cognac, I'll use brandy. They're all different. If they were all the same, then there would be one brand, right? There wouldn't be any variety out there. So, you know, that's what I really try to do. And these are things that not only you can build a wonderful cocktail with. We called the cocktail today the finer things, because they're not expensive brands, but they're not the least expensive brands on the shelf either. So the reason I chose these today is because come holiday time, when you're with your friends and family, obviously. Next week being Thanksgiving, and then only a few weeks from there is Christmas. It's important to have things that, you know, these are the time of year I feel like people are taking things out of the liquor cabinet. They're like, come on, let's sit around, let's drink family, mm-hmm. let's drink the finer things, let's drink the nice stuff.
Good call.
So this is this cocktail, Remy Martin 1738. This is the new Grand Marnier, the Louis Alexander, the Cuvée Louis Alexander, a little bit of Frutations cranberry and lemon and simple. We'll talk about that in a second, but the nice thing about these brands are that once you're done making the cocktail that I make today, and there's some left in the bottle, you can drink the cognac on its own. It's delicious.
Absolutely.
Or with, you know, ginger ale or whatever you want.
We love cognac.
And you can drink the Grand Marnier on its own as well. Who doesn't love Grand Marnier? It's like a nice after-dinner thing. So you have really pre-dinner cocktail that I'll make for you shortly. You have with-dinner cognac. And you have post-meal Grand Marnier. So it's completely all in one here. And they're nice things to have in your cabinet. They're conversation pieces. And they're something that you can be proud of when you bring it out of your cabinet. Or when you go buy a bottle and you bring it to somebody's house for a gift. You know, there's always, and we'll talk a lot about this coming up, there's always the party you get invited to and you're like, oh, I got to get something. What do I get, right?
Yeah.
You know? And then when you go to places like Liquor World or, you know, wherever, you know, you luckily you have people that you can speak to. Hopefully you listen to things that I speak about. But when the staff is educated, right, they can help you walk you through, like, what you're looking for. Who are you dealing with? Hey, man, my guy drinks cognac. I have no idea what cognac is. Okay, Remington 1738. He drinks Grand Marnier, but I'm looking to step it up a little bit. Louis Alexander, like these type of things, they can walk you through that, or I can walk you through it. So it makes it, they're special gifts. They're not going to break the bank, and you can enjoy them any time of year, frankly.
That's Jarrus Starkus, Director of Mixology Trade Development at Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits. Chris Motley is here from Liquor World, the spirit specialist. Ryan McKinnell, myself, are going to come back with 90 seconds. Go on Facebook and go to ESPN Las Vegas. You'll catch the Facebook Live of this fantastic recipe, the finer things. It's What's on Tap on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's the Press Box. Ready for the weekend?
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking.
Let's find out what's on tap with J.R. Starkus.
Champagne, perfume going in, sewage coming out.
Every time this year, you know, this roundabout time when you go to the holiday menu, the listeners of this show know that J.R. Starkus is going to provide them something that's going to impress their friends and family. And we are going to do this live on Facebook at ESPN Las Vegas. You can go on now and check out how J.R. is going to make the finer things with spirit specialist from Liquor World, Chris Motley, Ryan McKinnell, myself. And it's up to you, because I like what you've done here. You're going to make a cocktail out of two standards that could just sit on the shelf and be taken individually. If that's not everyone's cup of tea, they can always have this on their own. And if you buy it now, you can have it for Christmas as well, mm-hmm. and New Year's, depending on the intake. This is a brilliant idea because you'll never run out.
Pick up two bottles, give one as a gift.
Yep.
You know, or have a backup. I think with a drink like this, you can also convince people that are like, I don't drink cognac or I don't drink
this.
They're
always one,
right?
Say,
yep. You know, and even my dad, my father, for years and years and years, and still does, drinks brandy and 7-Up.
That's his drink.
It's been his drink since I was ever I can remember, and beer. But yeah, but when I was a kid, or when I started with his job, you know, obviously there's no shortage of alcohol in the house. So whenever he comes over, I said, Dad, do you need anything? And he's like, oh, I could use some, you know, some brandy. And I'm like, here's some cognac. So I started giving him cognac. And then he's like, oh, man, I really like this, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but it's amazing how different it tastes, right? Yeah, at first he wasn't sure because it tasted so different. But now he loves it. And now he's exploring the different flavors. He's like, oh, Dad, JR, I'm really getting into rum on the rocks. Mm. I was like, good for you, Dad. Good for you. So I gave him some different rums to taste. I gave him some like Mount Gay Black Barrel rum to taste. Things I'm like, or Mount Gay XO, right? Here's different flavors.
You might need to help me with that. I just had my first Dark and Stormy over the weekend.
Oh, nice. Yeah, did you have it with Goslings?
I have
Goslings.
No idea. So I didn't even know I liked rum. And then my buddy was like, try this. And I was like, this is delicious.
Where did you have it?
No clue. Can't even remember. It was a long weekend.
So true story.
I want to say downtown.
Okay, so here's the thing. Dark and Stormy is a trademark drink. And legally speaking, that drink has to be made with Goslings rum.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. And it's the official drink of Bermuda.
Yeah, it's official drink of Bermuda. Mm-hmm. But legally, if they're going to call it a Dark and Stormy, it had to be made with Goslings. They can, not that they would, but they can literally be sued for calling a drink Dark and Stormy and not using Goslings.
Yeah, I don't think it was called the Dark and Stormy. Again, it was just a buddy of mine who ordered it, and he had me taste it because I was drinking Mules. And I had that, obviously much less sour, completely different drink. But yeah, it was sweet
and the other smooth. The other thing that people don't do with their Dark and Stormy, the build is typically ginger beer first, and then the rum on top. So it's like the yellowish from the ginger beer, and then the dark rum kind of floats on top, and then you mix it in.
Yeah.
Versus the traditional rum, then ginger beer mix it. It's the opposite. Okay. Not that it affects the flavor, but that's the serve. Just one of those.
I'm but a babe. I'm a 36-year-old babe, JR. I'm finding out all these.
But I help you. I will be happy to help you with the rum, my friend.
Yeah, you are absolutely to blame for my increase in alcohol consumption over the last 2 years. It's more the appreciation.
Yeah,
because
really.
That's really what it was. Is like I just didn't. You know, I was indifferent to alcohol for the most part, but I do like appreciation of things. Like I like what I like, and I appreciate what I like, and you've opened up those doors for me.
Yeah, we were living a directionless life until this happened.
I think it's also important to understand that just because there's alcohol around doesn't mean that like it's got to be consumed right away. You got to slam it on anything like that.
Oh, I still got the Bell Mead bottle you gave me from last year. Yeah, I'm very slow.
Yeah, but that's fine. Slow. That's fine. I mean, you can sip and savor things. You can enjoy things little by little. You don't have to pour yourself 2 ounces and feel like you got to finish it. If you want to go home at the end of the night, pour yourself half of an ounce, a little bit, neat, and just really take your time with it, just as like something to enjoy different flavors.
Yeah.
By all means, like that's fine. And that's kind of what these things are about. As long as they're stored properly, and that's a cool, dry environment, and with anything with a cork like this, like here, if you have a cork, even though this is a little bit of a synthetic style, you do not want to store it on its side like wine. Alcohol will eat the cork, and you can get cork taint from it.
Okay.
And so you can really turn a bottle bad that way. So alcohol should always be standing up like this. Wine, you want the wine to soak into the cork, and that will help it and stay fresh a little bit longer. But with spirits, you want it up and down. Right. Hmm. There are certain ones you can turn to the side, like screw cap stuff. Right. Doesn't matter. There's no cork there.
Right.
But as long as the stuff is stored properly and in a cool, dry environment, like it'll last for you. So,
OK, let's get to this. We only got about five minutes to the break. We
look
got about 6 minutes.
Look at his eyes.
Well, it's because I'm shaking here. I need some booze. Let's get to the.
Here we go. Very simple drink. It's five ingredients. OK, five ingredients.
OK.
It's Remy Martin 1738. It is a Grand Marnier Cuvée Louis Alexander. It is Frutations cranberry syrup. There's our tie-in to the holiday, right?
Okay.
Lemon juice and simple syrup. Okay, and here's the recipe. 1.5 ounces of Remy Martin 1738, 1/2 ounce of Grand Marnier, 1/2 ounce of Frutations, 1/2 ounce of lemon, 1/2 ounce of simple syrup.
Oh, you
pretty,
made it easy.
Pretty easy to remember, okay?
Okay,
so here we
nice.
Go. I'm going to start with my simple syrup. Technically speaking, when you're building cocktails, I mean, I know who, if you've watched me before, I usually start with the cognac or whatever.
Yeah, why is this? What's going on?
Well, when you're building a drink, the proper method of doing it typically is to build from the least expensive ingredient forward. That way, if you mess up, I'm throwing away lemon juice and simple syrup and not cognac. Oh, if I put an ounce and a half,
if I put an ounce, okay,
right? If I put an ounce and a half of cognac in there and then I put too much simple syrup, then I'm gonna be like, now I got to throw that away. But if I mess up, I just throw away simple syrup.
I'm too cheap. Right? If I mess up, I'm drinking it.
Right.
I am to blame for this. This is my penance.
Right.
I'm finishing this.
So. Half of an ounce simple syrup, half of an ounce lemon juice, half of an ounce Frutations cranberry, half of an ounce of the Grand Marnier Louis Alexander, and then 1.5 ounces of the Remy Martin 1738. Okay.
Beautiful.
By all means, if you wanted to, you could serve this drink over ice. I'm going to serve it in a cocktail glass. The reason I'm going to do that is because after I shake it, I want to keep it cold, but I don't want to dilute it anymore. If you put it over ice, it will continue to dilute, obviously.
Okay.
But if you like it, you can. I like the way that these flavors come through and stay throughout the cocktail, so I don't want to add any more ice, so I'm going to put this into a nice cocktail glass, a coupe, something like that, whatever you have at home that looks like that.
You can follow us on Facebook at ESPN Las Vegas. Jared Starkus, Director of Mixology Trade Development, making the finer things in life.
So I'm going to give it a little shake.
I feel like that was more than a little shake.
Well, that was a furious.
I feel like that was a big shake.
Yeah, what?
this is hard, very cold ice. You get something similar to this, believe it or not, out of your freezer. Some freezers make really good ice. If you're using crushed ice, you don't want to shake that long. It'll dilute faster. But the idea is to get it cold and dilute it properly. What a lot of people don't understand, Grand Marnier is 80 proof too. Even though it's sweet, it's 80 proof. So I have 2 ounces, ounce and a half ounce, of alcohol in this drink. And it's all 80 proof spirit.
I still gotta do the Mac attack later.
So you're gonna get it, man. It's gonna be okay.
You're gonna get it.
You're gonna get it.
Oh, look at this thing. This is like a beautiful blood orange color.
So this comes from the Frutations cranberry that I used. Right. Gives it enough of that little cranberry zest.
Yeah.
That pucker. Keeping the garnish simple. I just go to the store, pick up a lemon. Most people have lemons in the house for the holidays because of whatever they're building. Just cut a thin slice, float it on top. That way you don't have to worry about any of your guests taking the garnish off and throwing it on the table or anything like that. Just leave it right in there. It's not going to get in the way. And people can continue to enjoy it throughout the course of the cocktail. But that's it. The finer things. 1.5 ounces of Remy Martin 1738. Half of an ounce of Grand Marnier Cuvée Louis Alexander. Half of an ounce of Frutations cranberry. Half an ounce of lemon juice. Half an ounce of simple syrup. I mean, straightforward, simple, delicious. And perfect for the holidays, and then you can drink the Remy and the Grand Marnier afterwards too on their own.
Kick it up a notch.
How'd you do that? That was really fast.
You were rushing me, bro.
I know. I feel bad about that now. I want to savor this thing. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break now, and then savor the drink during the break, and then we'll tell you how it is. It's going to be magnificent. Join us after this in 5 minutes' time. It's the Press Box with J.R. Starkus and What's on Tap.
No, Mom's going to do the turkey. Yeah, Dad wants ambrosia, so I guess we got to get those miniature marshmallows. And I'll do the crescent rolls, and you do the cranberries. You know I can't cook. Yeah, well, I'll see you tomorrow then. Gobble, gobble. Welcome to Marathon. May I help you?
Yes. Yes, you can help me make the finer things in life, will ya?
Get me a blanking car with a blank... I don't know. It's one of my favorite scenes.
It's been a long time. I gotta revisit that movie.
Yeah, that's why I was like listening to it. I was like, is that Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Man, that is a quintessential holiday movie. Trading Places. Both that I don't think get brought up in the typical holiday...
Yeah.
You know, pantheon. It's kind
of
like...
Hierarchy of holiday movies.
But they both belong there.
Watch it every Christmas.
And Planes, Trains, I believe, is a Thanksgiving movie, right?
Look at you. You followed it. That's right. Yeah, that's why I came back with it.
Well, there you go. And that is also not very well known. It's like the only... One of the only Thanksgiving movies that I feel like you can go to and...
I'm going
to
watch it.
Yep.
It's probably on Netflix. I got to watch it. I feel like it's on Netflix right now.
So good.
Yeah. You feel the same way, Chris? Chris Miley here from Liquor World. Trading Places does not get the Christmas movie it deserves.
That's the one I lit up at. Yeah. That has to be watched every year.
It's one of the finer comedies also that was ever made.
I don't know if I've ever heard, honestly.
Oh, man. The scene on the bus after he's gone.
I think you have.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. It's Eddie Murphy's essentially a down on his luck. Not homeless, but super poor guy. He's like a panhandler on the street. Okay. And Dan Aykroyd is a super rich Wall Street guy. And essentially the gist of the story is the two rich white guys who run the Wall Street company that Dan Aykroyd eventually works for, they essentially make a bet that anyone could do any job, and you could take the Eddie Murphy character and put him into Dan Aykroyd's character, and he would do just fine. And it becomes mm-hmm. this essentially two rich white guys playing with the lives of two other
okay.
unlucky individuals.
And it's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie.
It's a happy movie.
Yeah.
All right, I'll watch it.
But this is a.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Well, that's like you fill your holidays with like those movies are in the background.
Yes.
And you have to enjoy good drinks with the good food that you're going to make, especially when there's a bird in the oven for hours, you know, just dying away. You've got to have something that keeps things going. And what Sounds you so did delicious. Today, JR, with the finer things has really took off. Not only do you get the two great spirits in there, but as Ryan and I talked about, the session ability of these drinks, that you could drink these all day and never get tired of it.
That one's dangerous. Yeah. This one specifically, I mean, it's not too sweet. It's not too sour with the lemons. It's this perfect smoothness. And normally like a cognac or a Grand Marnier, you said it different, you know, there's normally a bite to it, especially for someone who doesn't drink a lot of alcohol. But that was tasty.
Yeah, and off the air I said, you know, I know that Ryan is not a big drinker. Right. He's not. And so for somebody that's not a big drinker to say, hey, this is really good, that's probably one of the best compliments any bartender can get, because it's not your palate, you know? It's not your palate, so that says a lot. That says a lot. So, yeah. Clay, I mean, she's...
Well, easy. Clay, you put anything in front of him, he's going to suck it down. That's not a bad Clay.
It's just a one-way route.
I did not mean it in that way.
No, that's all right.
Talking about alcohol.
It's closer to the truth than you realize. JR, people from the text line and on Facebook want to know how much simple syrup should they make, and especially with the you also had simple syrup as well as the fruitations and...
Yes. And lemon juice.
And lemon juice. How much should they make?
It was half ounce.
So it's a half an ounce of lemon juice and a half ounce of simple syrup, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can make as much simple syrup as you want. Like, it's indefinitely good, pretty much. And it's just one part sugar to one part water. The best way to do it is, let's say you put 16 ounces of water on the stove, bring it to a simmer, and then while that's coming up to heat, add 16 ounces by volume of sugar. Once the water's simmering, add the 16 ounces, stir it, the sugar and the water together. You'll see when the liquid becomes clear again, as all the sugar has dissolved into it, turn off the heat and let it cool. And that's simple syrup, and it's good for as long as you want it to be good, for the most part. I mean, obviously, there will be something at some point that you probably don't want it in it anymore, but that'll be months down the road, years down the road. And then the lemon juice, fresh lemon juice is always the best, you know.
Okay.
Do not go to the store and buy that plastic bottle that looks like a lemon or that plastic bottle that looks like a lime.
Don't
that is
do
not
that.
Fresh juice.
Never do that.
No, do not do that. So just go buy a fresh lemon or a fresh lime. Or if you want to buy syrup or a mix, if you can find ripe juice, ripe, R-I-P-E is the brand name, they make a lemon sour that is exactly that fresh lemon juice and that simple syrup already mixed, which is nice because it's a cold-pressed it's cold-pressed juice and it lasts for... about 90 days, which is unheard of, and it's fresh juice because of the cold pasteurization that they do. I shouldn't call it pasteurization. It's not that. It's the cold pressing that they do.
Interesting. Yeah, 90 days on a fresh juice. That's,
it's crazy. It's crazy. They have some technology that makes it it's pretty special. Yeah.
That's amazing. I'll tell you what, you can find the Remy Martin 71338, as well as the Grand Marnier Cuvée Louis Alexander at Liquor World locations near you. Go on to your social media, do the hashtag LiquorWorld_LV and find deals, as well as get the app. It's free to use, free to download, and you can order your bottles and all your needs, and they'll have it ready for you on your busy holiday trek. Chris, thank you again for coming in, my friend.
Cheers.
Chris Motley, spirit specialist at Liquor World, and J.R. Starkus.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You're
everyone.
A mad scientist when it comes to this stuff. I tell you what, that was one hell of a drink.
Well, no show next week, so I had to do it up for you guys.
Well, we all appreciate it. Thank you very much.